There are some great ministry opportunities in the world. There's certainly lots of needs that we see. And one amazing thing that we are fortunate enough to have as a church is to be able to partner with different ministries. And so we kind of extend what we are doing globally. We this morning prayed for IJM, and we try every month to give you an update. That's one of our partners. Another one of our partners is the Hills. And as I heard that they were coming to be here for the summer, wanted to have them come and share and give an update. As we partner with these people, it's important for us to be able to pray for them. Just so thankful for Don, how he gives updates on what's going on. And also to realize where our money that you give every Sunday, where that goes. These different ways that we have of blessing others across the world. I met the Hill family, I think it was about 5 years ago. We were just trying to reminisce on that. I met Adam and Lisa and Joe and Clara. And it was a delight to meet them. And then they got involved here at Olivet, became members of the church. And then able to walk and pray with them as they discerned this decision to go to work with Teach Beyond and to go to the Black Forest Academy. So it is indeed a blessing to have Lisa with us. Adam is teaching. And then great to have Joe and Clara with us here this morning. So let me pray for them before we begin. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we have to just extend ministry across the world. There are indeed so many needs. Lord, thank you for this family that received your call to go to the Black Forest. Lord, thank you for the work that they are doing. And thank you for the opportunity for them to come and share with us this morning and give us a bit of an update. Thank you, Lord, for Lisa, and pray that you would anoint her as she comes and she shares with us. And Lord, I ask for your hand of blessing upon this family. As they reach out and they touch the lives of others, I pray that in the midst they would see your hand of blessing on others and blessing on them. So Lord, thank you for each one of them. And we offer this time now to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Lisa, will you come share with us?
Good morning. Oh, wow. That's wonderful. I should try that again. Good morning. Great. You guys are a huge encouragement, even in just responding good morning. But truly, it's a privilege for us to be here today. As Laura mentioned, Adam's not able to be here. He is actually crossing the Atlantic right now and will meet us in Calgary. Kids and I fly out this evening, and he will join us on our last leg in Canada. Firstly, I just want to thank you again. It is such an honor and a privilege to know that Olivet is standing behind us as we work at Black Forest Academy. It is such a blessing and encouragement to hear from Don Anderson and get prayer updates and just know that you are praying for us as a family, as a church family, as individuals. I want to thank so many individuals in the church family who uphold us in prayer and also support us in so many ways. We are so grateful, and truly we could not do this without you. I was saying to Laura, it really does feel like coming home being here this morning. So it's wonderful to be here. It's amazing to see the body of Christ connect globally in that way. So as I share with you some stories of God's redemption and his far-reaching love, please know that these are your stories too, because you stand behind us. And so I want this to be an encouragement for you as you hear a little bit of what we've been up to and some examples of those kids that we work with. Revelation 19:10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I believe that when we share stories of God's goodness and kindness, of his miraculous provision, and all the things that he's doing, that it carries with it the expectancy that he is able to do that in others' lives too. So one thing that has come to mind recently is just pondering how the early church used to gather, how they would come together and share what had happened in that short time, how God was moving, and they would go out from that place encouraged and strengthened. So I hope this is an opportunity for, we've already received from you and being here in this, in time of worship with you, and I hope you can take this home with you as well. So as has been said, Adam and I and our twins, Joseph and Clara, who are seated right down here, they'll love that I'm just pointing them out right now. We moved to the southwestern part of Germany 2 years ago to work at Black Forest Academy. It's a Christian school serving missionaries who need to send their children away for education for a variety of reasons. These missionaries live generally in Europe, parts of Asia, and parts of Africa. So we have far-reaching, and the Middle East, we have far-reaching bonds throughout the world at our school. The boarding program starts from grade 9 to 12, and we also have what's called home students. So Joe and Clara are an example of home students, which means that they live with their families in the area and attend Black Forest Academy. But the boarding program serves these missionaries who are living abroad and working abroad. So Joe and Clara, just to focus on them a little bit, and I won't linger too long, just finished grade 7 at the middle school. They have one more year, 8th grade, and then they move on to the high school. The middle school is located in the town next to Condern, so they're actually bused. It sounds like a far distance, but it's really only a 3-minute bus ride, a 3-minute very loud bus drive. So upon our arrival in Condern, Joe and Clara were immediately embraced and welcomed into the small community at the middle school and joined a class of 17 kids in grade 6. So though they miss family and friends here, they are thriving at the middle school. Amen. Adam has taught various courses in the history department these last 2 years and thoroughly enjoys the interaction he has with his students. The variety of courses he teaches enables him to have much opportunity for discussion within the classroom, and it's within that context that he's able to initiate and provoke them to consider their beliefs and their worldviews. In fact, he taught a course called Worldviews. So it's been a great opportunity for him to engage with students on that level and see their eyes light up, perhaps for the first time, as they consider certain things they've never thought about before. I have been teaching French at the high school for the past 2 years, and this coming year we'll move into a new role as student council advisor. So I'll be working with a group of students who have been elected as leaders in the school. Along with our official teaching roles, Adam and I were sponsors for this year's graduating class. We started with them last fall as they began their 11th grade year, and we had the privilege to see them all graduate in June, all 75 of them. So at this time, I'd like to pause, and I have a few pictures that I can just go over with you and just give a little snippet of certain aspects of life at Black Forest Academy, or as we call it, BFA. So here's our family. That's what Adam looks like, since you can't see him in person here. And with our kids, Clara and Joe. Can go to the next. This is our little town of it's actually a city of Condern, viewed from one of the high points nestled in the Black Forest. And this is a wintry view outside of our window in our city. This is an aerial view of Black Forest Academy. This is just the high school campus, but they are currently undergoing construction and putting another level on the high school so that the middle school can move over to the high school. Joe is in action here. He's on the middle school boys basketball team, and he's the one who just made a pass. So both Joe and Clara were on the middle school basketball teams this year and enjoy the sports program. Clara's on the left, with three of her friends, one of whom is a graduate from last year. And the school employs a wonderful program where the grade 12 students mentor the middle school children. And so they really get to know those kids well so that they really consider themselves a family, and it's a big friendship. It's a wonderful way to unite across the grades for them. Joe had the opportunity of going to Berlin this year on a history bee and bowl. I was able to join him as a chaperone, so there they are in front of the Reichstag. And again, this is Joe and Clara with one of our graduating seniors this year, Deborah, and I will be talking a little bit about Deborah later on. This is a wonderful tradition. This is our graduating class this year at opening ceremonies, and they're all holding flags of countries that they have a connection with. Either they hold a passport from that country, they have grown up in that country, their parents might serve in that country. So it's often a time where they're trying to vie for which flag do I hold. I hold a passport here and here, and I live here. How do I choose which flag to hold? This is post-graduation, and this is a scene that has to take place every year where the graduates say goodbye to everyone that they've grown close to, knowing that it's possible they may never see each other again. And in this context where they've lived and breathed together, it's a hard, hard time, but very necessary. This is at our junior-senior banquet, where the grade 11 and 12 students go to celebrate. The grade 11 students celebrate the grade 12 students, and here are the guys waiting for their dates to arrive. I worked with a small group of graduates this year, and these are my girls. We're on the high school retreat, so I had seven wonderful girls that I was able to work with. At Black Forest Academy, we have what's called Impact Day, where various groups go out in different directions in the city and work with the city to do projects that need to be done. This has been a long-standing tradition. We have just had 100 refugees move into our city, so I'm excited about the possibilities of what this might, how this might provide for us. With teaching French so close to the France border, this was my field trip. I actually got to take my French class to France, which not every French class gets to go to France. So here we are. As part of the senior class, they take a trip to Rome. Again, it sounds exotic, but it really is a drive away. So here they are holding a worship service on the beach. And here are my girls, my small group girls with what's called their brother small group. We joined up with another small group for their graduation. And finally, they have graduated. That's it. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. That just gives a little snapshot of certain moments in life at BFA that helps bring the picture together. So as I mentioned, Adam and I were sponsors for this class, and we took on this role of sponsoring this class with seven other staff members. We had the opportunity to go to Rome with them and to do the various activities that were involved in sponsoring a 12th grade class. We were quickly made aware that they as a class had a rather negative reputation, however. This reputation had followed them from grade 9. They were known for challenging the status quo, for having an attitude, and for just being difficult and rather hard to get to know. Of course, this did not apply to each person of the class. However, because of the influence of a few, it did become the reputation of the class. And where some students within the class actually bemoaned this and wanted to change the reputation. There was much prayer that went into this class. Despite the outward signs of their resistance to God, however, it was very clear that he was at work and he was drawing them to himself both individually and as a class. At the beginning of this past school year, it was clear that something dramatic had taken place over the summer. A handful of these students shared in front of their peers the dramatic changes that had taken place and what God had been doing within them individually as they were home with their parents. Students who had struggled with serious depression and self-harm encountered Jesus and were visibly changed. A very noticeable difference was the evident desire to share with their peers. It was like they really couldn't hold it in. They were so excited to relate how Jesus had met them where they were at. They would take any opportunity. When we traveled to Rome, they would share in chapel. They would share one-on-one with their friends. They were in no way ambivalent and certainly not ashamed. They did not talk about it because they thought they had to or they should, but because they were truly changed, and that's all that mattered. I would love now just to share with you the testimony of Jesus in and through three of these students in this class who I personally had the opportunity to work with, as it's such a reminder of his redemption and his love for his kids. Jin Hee joined my small group halfway through her grade 11 year. She grew up in a country where the family, her family, and fellow missionaries had to meet secretly to worship God. She thought it was normal to only carry around one page of the Bible at a time because it was too dangerous to carry around a Bible. Her parents would rip the pages out of the Bible and carry them secretly so as not to be discovered with the Bible. In Jinhee's teen years, she became resistant to God and decided that she didn't even believe that he existed. On three separate occasions, she had life-threatening events take place, and on each occasion, God intervened and saved her life. The last of these events, she clearly remembers being in a paralyzed state, lying on the floor but unable to move or communicate. She could hear her family around her, yet was utterly unable to respond. However, she had such clarity of mind and was able to think rationally. In that state, she remembers contemplating again whether God existed or not, and if he did, how would she go about finding that out? She decided to give him a chance to reveal himself to her, even before acknowledging his very existence. Moments after that, she experienced an inexpressible warmth come over her entire body and a peace settle on her that she had never experienced before. Without doubt, she knew that there was indeed a God, that he had heard her, and that he even cared enough about her to flood her with his love and presence in that very moment. Needless to say, she survived. She was miraculously healed. This all happened a couple of years before I met Jin Hee. When I met her 2 years ago, she was living a life of worship and love towards God. With a gentle and kind spirit, she is an unstoppable force, releasing the Father's heart to everyone around her. To anyone who knows her, she really is the embodiment of the love of Christ. Her life is characterized by compassion, humility, kindness, gratitude, and gentleness. Her deep desire while at Black Forest Academy was to share Jesus with her peers so that each of them could enter into an intimate relationship with him as well. She particularly had a soft spot for those of her peers who were hardened towards God and resistant to him. She knew what it was like to be in that place, and she was a part of this class who had that reputation. God was indeed at work. She was not one to label people either, because she knew the kindness and patience of God leading her to repentance, and that she knew that his desire was to do the same for each one in her class as well. There is no such thing as too far gone from God, because she knew that from her personal experience that his love breaks through all and every barrier that has been set up against him. Jinhee plans to go into medicine, and after she's graduated, her desire is to go and live among the North Koreans. Deborah, who was in the picture with Joseph and Clara, is another girl in my small group. Deborah was new to Black Forest Academy in her grade 11 year. Her mother is Turkish and her father is German, and she had spent her entire life in Turkey. She is an only child, so coming to a school and living in a dorm with 12 other girls was a bit different than what she was used to. When Deborah was only 9 years old, her uncle was martyred in Turkey by extremists because of his faith in Jesus and because he had turned away from the Muslim faith. It was a terrible time in her life and in the life of her parents and her aunt and cousins. Her own father was also threatened by these same extremists before they were captured. They told him that they were coming for him next. This brought great fear into Deborah's life at such a young age. When Deborah came to Black Forest Academy, she was happy to be there. She fully embraced the life at the dorm and at the school. She, by nature, is extremely warm and inviting, so it did not take her long to make friends with peers and to engage with the staff that worked with her. But her concern for her parents was a constant reality as they remained in Turkey. With threats of ISIS in and around the area, the memory of how her uncle's life was taken was very much with her. And while she believed in God and did worship him, she never experienced his personal interaction with her. She heard others speak of it, and she had a desire for it. Perhaps her perspective of him was more that out of serving him out of duty and obedience instead of having a real relationship with him. In discussions with Deborah, she shared openly her desire to hear God speak directly to her and to know that he really did care for her. And God did indeed speak to her, not in ways that she probably expected, but in ways that blew her away, that identified that it was a word from God directly to her, very personal for her situations. Her whole paradigm of his love towards her just shifted in a moment. It didn't take years to teach her, but she had experienced him. He showed that he cared deeply for her, and he sees her, and that she is precious to him. Deborah now carries that with her through all of her remaining days and holds an expectancy that she didn't have before, an expectancy to rely on God, that he cared for her, that she could release all her concerns for herself and for her family with him. Connor is the last one I would like to speak about. Connor was our student body president this year. He has been boarding at Black Forest Academy for 4 years, since ninth grade, so he's a veteran dorm student. When you room together with, and you always have a roommate at Black Forest Academy, at least one. Some have two roommates. When you room together with someone for 4 years, you really see everything. You see the good, the bad, and the ugly. It all comes out. I think we know that as families, too. And sometimes that all happens within the span of a few minutes. So dorms are a place of great, wonderful interaction, great relationships, great diversity. The bonds between dorm sisters and dorm brothers become very strong as you have to figure out life together and make it work. Connor and his roommate were very different from each other, but over the years together, they grew in respect and understanding of each other. His roommate was not a believer and was rather skeptical of Christians and Christianity in general. They had many conversations about this, and his roommate knew that this was really a safe place to share his opinions and his thoughts. He knew that Connor would not respond defensively, but would hear him and listen to him with respect and love. It was very much on Connor's heart to pray for this roommate, and for the past 4 years, he shared with me, he has dedicated himself to pray for him. There was no evidence at graduation that this roommate had received Christ. So why am I sharing this particular story with you? I see the kindness of God revealed in how he lovingly placed both of these guys in the same room for the past 4 years. It was no mistake that they ended up rooming together and slowly developing this unique bond. As 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conception of slowness. But he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance." It is really the kindness of God that leads each one of us to repentance, to true repentance. I can see the thread of God's extraordinary patience in this scenario as he deeply desires that all should be saved. And I'm confident that he is still at work in Connor's roommate's life, that he will continue to plant seeds of his love and his truth, pursuing him all the days and years to come. We have had the amazing opportunity to live and engage with these students for the short time that they call Black Forest Academy their home. Sometimes, as I mentioned, we get to see the dramatic transformations when kids encounter Jesus for the first time. And we see that transformation actually take place in their lives. Other times, we're able to walk with students who already have a relationship with Jesus and who know him and who are growing in their relationship with him. And it's a joy just to stand with them, encourage them in that, and mentor them. We also see students come and leave without our knowledge of whether they've actually encountered Jesus and developed a relationship with him. In all these situations, I am so thankful for the unstoppable love of God that pursues us relentlessly, his extraordinary patience that waits, that always holds fast to his promises, and that he knows just how to reach us. Sometimes we think we know the best way, but I'm so thankful that God knows the best way. He is able to do so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. So I hope these three snippets of a little bit of the people that we've encountered at Black Forest Academy encourages you as well, as God is certainly at work there, as he is here in your midst as well. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to share with you. And if you are interested in finding out more about what we do or have any questions, I'll be here after the service. And may each of you also know and experience God's relentless love this week. Thank you. And I'll just pray for us. Father, we thank you for your great kindness, your great love and compassion, that you are patient and that you are extraordinarily patient, not just patient with a limit. We thank you that for you, nothing is unknown, that you know all things. You know just what is needed to reach each one that you've created. I thank you that you sustain us with your love, that you don't leave us to figure it out, but that you are so present in our lives and willing to pursue us at all costs. Thank you that you did that through Jesus. And I thank you for each one here who you have called. I thank you for each life that is so precious to you, and I pray your blessing on each one gathered here. I pray for those in this congregation who are not here as this morning, that you would be a blessing to them and their families wherever they are this morning. And we lift you up and worship you, Jesus, as Lord, and thank you for who you are. In your precious name, amen.